Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, it was a disappointing day yesterday in some ways yesterday, but ultimately, did it really matter? I don't know. To me, it didn't matter. As a listener, maybe you are a bit annoyed by it, and that's fair enough. But to help me talk through the 3-2 defeat at Burton, I'm going to be talking with Alex Everson. How are you doing?
I'm okay, Paul. Not too bad, really, given the fact that we lost yesterday. I've had worse weekends.
What did we think of the Burton ground? It was, I mean, we've been to quite a, I mean, you particularly, you've been to even more than me.
It's
a lot of grounds in League One.
And it's one of the worst League One grounds. And it's not a case of like, it's bad, like it's small and rubbish. It's just really crap, though. It's so unimaginative. It's really boring. Just for, you know, concrete stands, essentially. Not really a fan, if I'm honest. It's also really weird that you have to walk up the stairs to get into the terrace and then walk back down the stairs where the pitch is. Why is that the case? Pretty odd. Not really a fan, to be honest, of Burton's ground, but I guess...
No,
Burton fans aren't going to care, are they?
No, they don't care at all. It's their home, and I understand that. They'll love it, I'm sure. And I would give a little bit of a shout-out to those 100 or so Burton ultras behind their goal. They were giving it a go before the game, and they're kind of like pushing the crowd on as much as they were. It was not a loud crowd, you know.
It improved in the second half once they...
It did.
You know, once they got their two-goal advantage, and, you know, the game looked like they were probably gonna see it out. It improved. It probably wasn't the worst home crowd I've seen this season.
Yeah, no, that'd be interesting to discuss on the old season review, which one was the worst, because there's a few contenders. But you've also got to say Burton completely deserved to win that game yesterday. They looked more up for it, as Lewis Wing said post-match. In the first 5 minutes, you could see that, couldn't you?
It's a difficult one because obviously when you go into a game where one team's already had their season decided and the other hasn't, often you get these kind of weird, not results necessarily, but you get these weird elements of the game where the team who've finished their season in essence or achieved their aim aren't necessarily with it. And I mean, you saw it in other games yesterday as well, with like Portsmouth losing at home, for example, to Wigan. It's not necessarily surprising when one team has got something to play for and another doesn't, or another has kind of finished their season. And we can all discuss and say, oh, you know, you want teams to finish strong and you want teams to kind of, you know, go on and finish the season with wins and things like that. But ultimately, you know, any slight slip up in motivation or slight slip up in, you know, training or preparation because of the fact that you've achieved your goals already means that you know, you might be that 1 or 2% off your game compared to the team which have got, you know, something to play for and might be playing with that extra 2% of motivation which they've found during the week for it. So, you could see it during the first kind of 5-10 minutes that Burton definitely will kind of bang up for it. And Reading were, I don't necessarily think Reading were playing awfully in the first 10 minutes or anything, but it was just a case of like the elements of the game that we were trying to do just weren't really working.
Yeah, I totally agree. Once you've achieved your objective in a season, it's really hard. And that's why the 106 is so incredible, because to keep that level up is so hard. And you see it repeatedly every single season. Oh, teams are going to get the 106, but they don't, because they switch off. And it's ultimate. I understand it, because you've achieved what it is, whatever your objective is. If Luton stay up this season, with a game to spare in the Premier League, unlikely, but you don't know, that's them done. And it doesn't matter what they do in their last game, does it? But moving on back to our game, yeah, really poor start for us, really. Really not good defensively, this one. 5 minutes in, Mason Bennett from a free kick. Kelvin kind of probably should do better here, Alex. What do you think?
Yeah, it's one of these frustrating ones with a set piece where the ball kind of Bennett really never hits it first time, and it just hits up against Kelvin, and I don't think he really knows where it goes, so he loses the ball completely, and it falls, you know, straight back to Mason Bennett, and ultimately it's an okay finish from him. Maybe somebody should be able to get a block on it, because he's put it past like two or three players, even though he's only about 5 yards out. But maybe someone should get a block on it. Pereira's kind of dived down low and given basically the rest of the goal to aim at for Bennett there. It's not ideal. It's just not a great piece of defending. I don't think it's like any which you can really lambast anybody over, but it in a game where you're, you know, the team which has got nothing to play for, I think we're probably going to say that set phrase about 25 times in this podcast. But when you're that team and you then concede that kind of goal, it's a bit like, well, it's just kind of expected almost, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And then in the 11th minute, we concede another one, don't we?
I will add, we haven't been great defending set pieces, though, this season, I think.
No, we haven't. No, that is something that definitely needs
really
to work.
Yeah, it is something that we really need to work on. And it's often, I don't even think it's really the first, it's not the first ball as well a lot of the time. We seem to be able to defend or block or do something to not concede in the first ball. It's not like we're conceding like a direct header from a corner or anything, but it's often the second ball or the drop where we're really struggling.
Yeah, I totally agree. You see this all the time. I could be interested to see how we are, how you work that one out in the stats, Alex, for like, you know, because it's not a first contact. But I feel that there has been a few, but on the flip side of that, we've also scored from a few corners as well in the last few weeks. So it is, I don't know.
I mean, looking at the numbers, we've conceded 14 from set plays this season, which is, okay, so, to be honest, it's kind of about average. Looking at the league, yeah, the most 20, the worst is, the best is 8. So, you know, 14 is pretty average. Maybe it just feels like it happens at a weird rate. Like we've conceded more from, you know, non-first contact versus first contact this season, perhaps. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. So it is good to look at it with actual kind of reality. And I feel like I don't want to be critical on the team here for lots of reasons. They've done it, but the second one, it's a poor kick out from Joel Pereira initially, but it's a cracking finish though. I mean, I don't think Pereira has a chance of saving that one.
No, he doesn't have a chance to save it. I think the blame on this goal does lie on Joel Pereira though, because Mbengue plays the ball back to him and Pereira plays it first time. It's a really poor piece of distribution from him, and he's given the ball straight back to Burton. And Reading really aren't set up in a defensive shape at this point either. Yes, it's a good finish. Yes, it's another goal we've conceded from outside the area. Again, I don't know, I lost track of how many goals that is we've conceded from outside the area this season. Feels like a lot. Pereira doesn't really have much of a chance of actually saving it once the striker's actually been hit. And it's a good goal. It's a frustrating one to concede because it's so shortly after the first goal as well. It's 11 minutes or so. So it's only about 3 minutes after the first one, I think. And it's so unnecessary to give the ball back, you know, so cheaply like that, under no pressure at all.
Yeah, it was kind of like summed up. You could feel that they were gonna score goals though. They had other chances in between that, and it wasn't constant quality from Burton, but it was just constant pressure, putting the balls into the box, and fair play to them, it's worked, you know. And the second one was a quality strike. So then we get back more, you know, more into the game. You feel like, oh, maybe we're kind of like wake up. And so finally in the 34th minute, I really enjoyed this, even though ultimately ends up being pointless. Another Lewis wing, beauty of a free kick. I mean, me and you were discussing, where's he going to put this, which side? And he just makes it look so easy.
Yeah, we both said, oh, this is not really the right angle for him. He can only really put it in the top corner if he's going to shoot. And then he puts it completely the opposite way of where we were discussing, because we said, oh, I can only put it kind of across, like, to the keeper's right-hand side in the top corner. And he's put it the same side we were discussing, but obviously in the bottom corner. It's a very impressive finish, really. You know, keeper doesn't even move, does he, when the ball strikes? And it's another one to add to the collection for Lewis Wing. I think that's four in the last five, maybe, or four in the last six, with an assist in the other one. And once you include the fact that a lot of those have been from outside the area, and I think he's now on seven from outside the area this season, it's a phenomenal record, really. And as much as we all said, oh, we all really want Lewis Wing to stay, there has to be an element of just a bit of tempering expectations for next season if he's with us. You can't expect him to score seven from outside the area next season as well. Although it would be great if he does.
Yeah, no, I agree. We need to build a team that has more variation on source of goals. But having said that, you know, Sam Smith, you know, has been scoring recently. So there is another one. But I think we need more from the midfield and opposite side, because Femi Aziz has slightly gone off the ball. I think that's fair to say. He hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been at that peak that he was for like 2 or 3 months. You're kind of hoping then that we get into half time and it's 2-1, or perhaps, you know, maybe we can get it back to 2-0. It wasn't going to be that kind of day, was it really, Alex? They score a third just before half time in the 42nd minute from Kamya, but the corner comes in initially and Joel Pereira completely misses the ball. I mean, this is where all the problems start. He then makes a good save, but the follow up, he can't do nothing about. Joel didn't have a good day yesterday.
No, he just whiffs the corner completely. I don't know. I think he's trying to punch it away, because he's not the one. The one criticism of Joel Pereira I've definitely got is he doesn't necessarily like to catch the ball. He often will punch it away rather than try and claim the ball out of the air, which is fine if you're going to be able to do it. And most of the time he does. Yesterday he didn't. The ball kind of sails right over his hands. And basically it causes a little bit of chaos. Reading never really, you know, they get the ball to the edge of the area, it comes back in, gets crossed from the right-hand side, headed out, and then the striker's like, it's through so many bodies that, yes, maybe, maybe somebody should get a block or a save or something, but equally, it's not necessarily surprising that it's gone in when you've shot from that far out through that many players. So it's a difficult one to say that the goal is necessarily on him, but I think, you know, if you're going to come out and try and punch it, you need to get rid of it. You can't, if you're going to miss the punch, it just causes chaos for the, like, defensively after that as well. I think it was probably Pereira's worst game in a Reading shirt yesterday. He made some good saves, yes, but he also made some pretty poor errors as well. So the distribution on the second goal, the punch on this third goal, yes, he's made the saves, but equally, like, you know, if you're going to make mistakes in other areas, the saves kind of don't, you know, they don't necessarily keep you in the game. They're just replacing those errors that you're making elsewhere. So it was probably Pereira's worst game, I think, for us yesterday, unfortunately. Good that it's coming a game where there's not really anything riding on it, at least. So,
yes, that's
arguably
that is
not the worst time to do it.
It's actually the best time, isn't it? Yeah, definitely. Possibly not for him, but for us as a supporter of the team, it definitely was. It's tough to know, isn't it, with goalkeepers, because you looked at Joel Pereira and you knew a mistake was going to come at some point, but you also know one's going to come with David Button. So overall, who would you rather see in goal? Let's forget like the summer, but right now, who would you think, if we didn't make any signings, which one would you like to see next season?
Right now, I'd personally rather see neither of them and see Boyce Clark. Is that allowed? Am I allowed to pick Boyce Clark?
You can take the third option. Go on then. Why not?
I'll take Boyce Clark. If we're not going to be able to sign a keeper, It's difficult though, because Boyce Clark has obviously played so little first team football. I feel like we've kind of probably got three keepers who are maybe they're all League One level, but none of them stand out, unfortunately, which is really difficult because you're kind of in that situation where you've got, you know, three players who maybe can all do the job, but maybe all can't. And ultimately that kind of means that you don't have any, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I mean, because I look at David Burton and I think, I don't think so. Pereira, yeah, he didn't have a good game yesterday. That is for sure. But I've also seen him make some really impressive saves as well, which I don't think David Burton would have been capable of making. So he gives me the edge for that. Connor Boyce-Clark, I just don't know. I have seen him play, but I haven't seen him play enough. And none of us have in like proper actual first team football.
Yeah, it really could
really judge him. Yeah.
He really could have done with 6 months out on loan. I know he's been injured this season, but he could have done with some first team football in the Football League, I think, at this point. Because he's, I mean, I think he's got a year left on his deal at Reading. And he's played maybe five games of first team football at this point across all competitions. It's not really enough. I think he could do with, you know, I think he's played two very short loan spells in non-league, like National League or National League South, I think it was. But he could really do with getting a 3 month deal or something. He really could have done with that this season, I think. So he could kind of come back next year and compete for the number one slot. Because my concern is that obviously he's 21 already, and you think, well, you know, he's played for England under, you know, youth teams throughout his career so far. And he's, you know, now playing for Jamaica national team as well. But you really need him to kick on and start playing first team football before it's too late and he's released and he goes on and gets a contract somewhere else and does really well. I would like to see him be the first choice goalkeeper, but equally it feels like such a risk to do that next season because you just don't know what you're getting almost.
No, you don't. I mean, it could be really good. We just don't know.
He could come in and be excellent in League One, but equally he could come in and make four errors in his first 10 games and we're saying, oh, why have we not signed a goalkeeper?
Yeah.
And the season feels like it's over at that point. So it's a really big decision, I think, in summer as to what they do with goalkeeper next year.
Yeah, it is a massive one. But getting back to what happened yesterday, second half, we're in now, 59th minute, a minor miracle occurred. We were giving a penalty after Kelvin was, I think it's fair to say, blatantly chopped down there. You can see the reaction of the Burton players now. I've watched it back on TV because that was the weird thing about Burton. Depending on where you stood behind the goal or something, you really had no idea what was happening.
Depth for like detail. Dreadful. That's another thing I'll add against the Pirelli Stadium. Like there's no height from where you stand it really. I mean, we would stood basically, I think, first or second row of the terrace, but there's no depth perception at all. So you can't see what's going, really can't tell how far or close anything is to the goal from the other end. And obviously four out of five where it went in at the other end. So difficult to really tell, but yeah, seeing it back, it's an obvious foul. You know, there's no real argument. The frustrating thing I found with this season, obviously, this is only our second penalty, is that you watch Kelvin do this, and actually, when he runs at a player on his left foot from that left hand side, and he tries to get down to the byline and cut into the area, he does it relatively successfully, and he produces moments, he produces chances, like the Sam Smith chance we had against Barnsley, which he put wide. We obviously won a penalty yesterday. He's, you know, set up goals from that area before. And yet it took us until probably 55 minutes before he did that yesterday. We didn't do it at all in the first half. It really baffles me as to why we don't try and, you know, force the play a bit more. He's got the pace and he's got the ability to be able to beat players. Why don't you want to, like, run at them from deep a bit more often?
Yeah, I find it confusing as well. I don't know why that is the case. But Sam Smith scored the penalty. nice penalty. Get it back to 3-2. You're thinking, maybe we can push on. It felt like a game where anything can happen. I felt it was just as likely that Burton were going to score, but actually they did nothing in the second half. And I understand that completely. They just wanted to hold on. But we really didn't threaten. I can't remember a moment when you thought, we're going to score here. It didn't feel like it.
I don't think we had a shot, I'll be honest, in the remaining half an hour after the penalty. I cannot remember a single effort that we had where I thought that was close. The keepers had to make a save there. Nothing. We had a couple of maybe headers over. But it wasn't even uncreative. We had all the pressure and lots of crosses going into the box, but our crosses were just so lackluster in terms of any kind of danger on them. It was almost just rinse and repeat until hopefully we managed to do something on them. But actually, we didn't really ever threaten the Burton goal at all after the penalty. As you said, Burton were very content with 3-2 once it was at that scoreline and happy not to attack at all. So they even really ventured into our half at all in the second half.
No. That was obviously an absolutely huge win for them. So it's looking very likely that we'll be going back to Burton next season. I'll be quite frank, until I watched the highlights back just before doing this podcast, I'd forgotten the goals apart from the Lewis Wing one. And it's a bit of a weird one yesterday, wasn't it, Alex?
It's not one that's going to stick in the memory, to be honest. It reminded me so much of the Luton game that we played a few years ago on the final day of the season at Kenilworth Road when we'd already stayed up. And we lost 1-0 when Nyland dropped the ball and they tapped the ball into the net and they made the playoffs. We've gone to a ground. The other team has got something to play for and we don't. And it's just kind of like... I don't want to say I'm not arsed because it sounds really stupid to say that, but it's just you've gone and it's one of those games where you've lost and you're just it just doesn't matter. And then you just wonder, well, if it doesn't matter, then why is anybody bothering? But, I think that's probably an off season deeper thought podcast that, but it's one of those, isn't it? It's essentially a friendly for Reading, same as the Blackpool game next week. It is pretty much a friendly for us. As much as anybody, would love to see us win games at the end of the season and do well, ultimately, if we don't finish the season strongly and we end up, not winning any of our last three games, is anybody going to remember it in 7 months' time? Probably not. No one's going to know or care. It's just going to be what it is, right? It's just one of those things where people want something to react to in the moment. And I mean, you kind of saw that after the game on social media from, certain elements, people upset that we'd lost and frustrated that we've, lost to a team like Burton who've lost 8 in a row at home. And it's ultimately these things just, they kind of pale into insignificance in the grand scheme of things, let's be honest.
If we could have been told that with two games to go left of the season in November, would be safe, would be absolutely ecstatic. And that's what's happened. And this is the price that you pay for that, is that the levels drop a bit. Everyone says you have to be professional. I understand that. It's not like they went out there and played absolutely shockingly badly.
No, I don't think they played badly.
No, I'm just saying, though. I'm just putting that context because we lost 3-2. This is what happens. And we've seen it in League One all the time. Everyone can beat everyone virtually. It's a very balanced league in many ways.
We're a fairly average League One side, realistically. Yeah. I think what is it? Something like we're eighth or something over 30 games. We've scored 45 points or so, but it's not. We haven't dominated League One, or we haven't looked terrible in League One. Equally, really, we've been
did for the first fine. 2 months. We did for the
yeah,
first
the two first months. 2 months we didn't look great, but equally, even then, we looked bad, but we never really got dominated in even that many games during the first 2 months, did we? It's just we were making really poor errors at the end of games, which were costing us. I think it's like it's something to think about, perhaps not maybe one for a discussion, but it's something to consider the fact that obviously we've had what, 5-6 seasons now where we've always had really something to play for at the end of the season, or getting close to the end of the season. And actually the reality is when you look at other teams or other clubs, let's, whoever, for example, Wickham as an example, the last 2 or 3 years they've sat in League One, been mid-table, and that's how it is. That's how it is for a lot of clubs, and you'll win some games and you'll lose some games, but ultimately they finished mid-table, and that's kind of where lots of clubs end up finishing. And you know, you'll win games and you'll lose games, and if you finish mid-table, you finish mid-table. You just kind of have to accept it. Almost, it's like, it's tough to explain, but most clubs finish mid-table, and you have to accept that your team is going to win and lose games.
Yeah,
that's how it is. It's there's no point in getting too upset or too worried when the season's already over.
No,
or too happy, agree. Ultimately, either if we go out and beat Blackpool 5-0 next week, not saying we will, but if we go and beat Blackpool 5-0 next week, sure, I'll be pleased we've beaten them. But ultimately, is it going to make much of a difference to, you know, anything in the, you know, longer term? Not really. So,
no, it won't. What was nice to see, the good reception that the team got from the fans at the end. I think a lot of them stayed, which is good, you know, because sometimes when you lose games, people get really, you know, annoyed. But I think ultimately they know that they've done the job. Some people are upset by it, and I get that. I respect that. That's fine. But bigger question is, where would you rather shop, Alex? Top Man or Burns?
I'd probably shop at Burton. It's online only now, though, Burton, I think. So,
okay.
I'd probably be Burton, but neither.
Yeah.
I've got no desire to go back to Burton the place or Burton the shop, really. But equally, I'm not really sure I'm fitting a Top Man either at this point. What about you?
Yeah, I have previously, many years ago, bought something from Top Man, probably more than one thing, but yeah. Gotta be honest, neither. But, you know, it just came into my head. So thanks a lot for listening. We will have a whole load of podcasts coming out. Obviously, we'll have the season review coming out at some point. That will be over multiple episodes because there's been a lot going on the pitch and even more off the pitch, and we will look back at all of it. We've also got the preview coming up for the Blackpool match, and we will do giving you the post-match for that as well. Whatever happens, let's enjoy that. Let's make the most of it. Last game of the season, we've got through to it. So thanks a lot for listening. And if you've enjoyed it, give us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. Cheers and up the fucking ding.